Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us again this week for On Point, another edition of On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, and I'm here with my co-host and my best partner, Dr. James Moore. How you doing today, James?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. For everyone who had a hectic week, it's over. It's done. It's a done deal. It was behind you. But we move forward, and so we always want to say something to keep you positive, so stay positive. Today, we want to go over something that's been plaguing our entire nation, the abuse of the welfare system. Today, it's farewell to welfare in our State of the Union segment. We're going to address the new state law that aims to limit how long public assistance will be dispensed. Is this a positive or pejorative type thing? And we want y'all to join our conversation. And once you hear, please feel free to chime in, 347-855-8662. And let me start it off. In President Clinton's term, he had an initiative nationwide, and it met a lot of opposition in Congress, to put people on a two-year plan and commit to sending those individuals that were using state assistance to go to school. So the idea was to go to school, get an associate, get off the program, go make your money. This new plan says you got 1 year public assistance. After that, you're off. Pretty much, that's it. And my question is, how do you feel about this? You know, what do you feel about this? Let us know. Again, if you want to chime in, it's 347-855-8662. And Jay, what do you think about this initiative that they've enacted on for the state law, Mr. Ducey?
Well, you know, without going too deep in my feelings about Mr. Ducey, I do have my own personal opinion about how he runs things. I'm not completely opposed to putting a limit on how this functions. And here's my reasoning behind it. I think that the welfare system should be something that assists folks in getting back on their feet. And as we all know, ethically speaking, the government is supposed to be the people's main line of defense. That being said, just like when our parents help us out, you know, when we were younger and, you know, you want to get a car, go to school, they get us to a point where we get back on our feet. They don't pay for us for the rest of our lives. And I think there are some folks who probably abuse the system. There are some folks who are really, truly in need. If you're truly in need, I have no problems with that. I think that should be a hand up or leg up as opposed to a perpetual crutch. I just think that shouldn't exist in perpetuity. It should go for a point. Say, hey, look, as long as we're doing this and you're going to school, when this program ends, you should have a degree or you should have some sort of a job skills training so you can go out and take care of yourself and your family, or at least have a valid shot at it. You know,
and if you can
make that valid attempt, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
Right.
Now, there has to be some measures in place to make sure that, one, it's being utilized properly, being dispensed properly, you know, no one's abusing it. And if those measures can be put into place, I don't have a problem.
Abuse is something that's happening right now. Thank you for joining us, Lady Therese. How are you today?
I'm doing good, and you?
Not too bad. Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody.
Go ahead. What's your feeling?
I just want to say that, you know, I do understand the reason for the cut. I mean, this is not something that you should be on for the next 10, 12 years. It's supposed to help you to get better, not for some to stay on for a lifetime and decide to use it as a crutch. I do understand some of the cuts, and some of the cuts I don't understand because it's affecting kids. And, of course, these kids don't have to be here. But you, it's just what James said. You have people that know how to get on the system and abuse it and to make it work for them. If you could do all that, you could for sure get a job. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand you have people with disabilities or people with certain learning behaviors that really probably can't do any better. And I understand that. But for the young crowd, I say that you know, that'll make this a career-type thing, that'll stay on it for 5 to 10 years, that's not good. It's not meant for you to have a career off this. It's designed to help you, not for you to lean on, stay on, and be a crutch on forever. Let's go ahead, use it for its ability, and go ahead and get you a job to make you some real money. You know what I mean? Don't stay with
me. I agree.
And I think in addition to that, Trey, you know, and Therese, I think that's a great idea getting a job, but I think along with learning those skills, it wouldn't be harmful for perhaps the government to have a program in place where maybe it helps some of these folks start small businesses so they do more than just take care of their family. Maybe they're doing something for the community, you know, and provide some sort of training or knowledge in that arena as well.
And see, that strikes a strong point because the ability, the know-how, the gumption that it takes for you to defy the system, to use the system, to stay on the system, that's ingenuitive. You use that same initiative, that same drive to get something better. And I've said this before, but I believe some use it
as
their mainstay. That's their mainstay. You have that female and some males out there too who go like this: look, have a kid and you get paid. Have two kids, they pay you more money.
Right.
And if they pay you more money, and then if you do voluntary service for them or you study a class with them for daycare and still stay on the system, you get paid for doing the class, for doing daycare, and I'm like, wait a minute. The knowledge that it took you to formulate this entire idea, you could be a lawyer. They have a school assistance program with welfare. It's not spoke of, but they got it. You know? And I believe that President Clinton's initiative is one that they should reenact. You got this 1 year, 2 years. In the meantime, you have to sign up for school. You have to be taking classes. You have to maintain a C average. And for the 2 years that you have it, if you stop, it ends. More people would come, and they were also getting a credit. They were getting a credit to go to school, to become better, smarter, stronger. Why would you knock that? I don't have a problem with it. And on another note, and this sucks. I don't know another way to say it. This sucks donkey toes. Look, if a mom has children, and she says she doesn't know where the father is, the father automatically has to pay the state back for as long as she's on and she's receiving assistance. And that's crazy. So daddy could be right there next to her. So when he starts paying child support, or if he's paying child support at all, it's going to the state first. He's not even giving it to his kids. How nasty is that? That's a broken system. That's a broken system. I think they should have penalties. You know, I'm not knocking nobody's hustle, your game. But at my expense, when it comes down to it, whenever that FICA that you look at and Social Security and that state tax that comes out, that's me. You multiply me times 10,000 people, that's us paying them to stay home and chill, collect a check. I ain't with it. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. And I have to say that a lot of our systems that are in place, Trey, are broken to a degree. And some of them probably started with the best of intentions. I honestly believe some of the programs out there were put out there for good reason. Maybe not all of them.
It was temporary.
And some of them don't benefit everyone. They're groups that are targeted, I'm sure. But, you know, when people find the loopholes in a system and they start to abuse it, to me that says it's time to fix the system. And I think that's the issue. Yeah, that's the issue is no one's taking the time to review the system. And then when they do get around to it, if it went, then they take such drastic measures that wiping out a program that hurts more people than it helps or wiping it out hurts more people than it helps. That's the negative side of this. And I think that's the problem.
I agree.
Patrice, you were saying that there's some negative sides. That are negative impacts of this new law. What stands out to you that you don't like about it?
I mean, the thing that I don't like is that it's going to cut like 2,700 kids. You know, that's the bad part. You know, like I said, I was once one of those people that had AIDS, far as with my health insurance and with food stamps as a college student. So it does help. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying like better than the next, because I'm not. I'm just a normal human being like the rest. But I'm saying it, to some degree, we need to help them. Just don't cut them off completely. When you cut them off completely, you're going to have more crime. You're going to have more violence. You got some people that feel like, okay, I can't get help from the state and I don't have a job. What other choice do I have now? But I mean, you can't do that either. But at the same time, give them something that can help them. Don't give them something where they can lean on it and it be the crutch for the next, you know, several years. Like what James was saying, like they have school programs. I believe that was you, Trey, that they have school programs to help you back in school. You know, do things that can possibly help them. But still find loopholes to make things work for them. If you can find loopholes to make things work for you to bend the system, you can for sure get a job. You know what I mean? This right here will help taxpayers. You know what I mean? It'll save taxpayers. It'll help school programs. It'll help out better. You know what I mean? Because some people know how to get in here and make the system work for them. No, but why not use the system for what they say for about a good year or so? Within a year's time, you should be able to find a job. Jobs out here are plentiful. You're just not applying yourself to find that job.
Arizona has one of the strongest job markets in the nation. Arizona has one of the strongest job markets in the nation.
Yes.
So
you're just not trying.
Exactly.
Let me chime in, folks. I got to say this. Now sometimes finding a job is tough. So I get that, but there has to be a happy medium. And I think having someone aggressively searching for employment versus saying, hey, they have to and that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of in the middle. I don't think that, you know, not everyone can find a job, even when you have a skill set. But if they're aggressively looking and there's a system in place where you can verify that, I know that, you know, they talk about gainful employment and all that stuff. But if the person is struggling and they're honestly looking, I don't think they should be penalized, at least not 100%, say, hey, look, you know, we were giving, let's just use a hypothetical number of $1,000. Say, okay, by this point, you should be finding a job. If you don't, now maybe they take it down to, you know, $750 or whatever. And I'm not saying these are just arbitrary numbers. I'm just saying have some sort of incentive for them to hunt, but don't have the incentive so strong that if they can't find the job, they become destitute. And I think that's that right. balance, that happy medium. And maybe that's where those government programs need. Maybe perhaps if you get assistance, you have to work for the government in some capacity. Maybe you teach or work with an after-school program, or you help the homeless, or you do something
that,
so that there's
that
a balance
would,
for this.
That would
you know,
be
you
great.
Get a,
See,
yeah,
and
there's
that,
a balance
that, that
for
right there,
what you're
that,
doing.
That right there, that right there, and jockeying in on what you were saying. Imagine if the, all the positions that they have where they need assistance, they need assistance. So you volunteer. Now you,
yes.
it's you're mandatorily volunteering, but you're getting paid. You're getting paid.
Now see, I'm
so
okay with
getting,
that trade.
And I'm thinking this would be a good thing. This would be a good thing, and we should try to do something to shine a brighter light on it. Imagine this: you sign on for assistance. You say you don't have a job. 9 times out of 10, you got to be making 5 cents. If you make more than 6 cents, then you can't get assistance anyway, which makes no sense because I see people that come across that don't even have birth certificates, but that's another story. Nonetheless, they say there are positions that they need help with in the state. Those people that are signing on to the state now, they come there, they volunteer, they're helping to do that. In order for them to receive money, they're doing this job. Now, at the same time, they're gaining that work experience. You don't
agreed.
Quit. You can't quit. And you quit, then your family doesn't get that money that you're so desperately depending on. But aside from that, now you're building another skill set. And you may even turn it into a career. The state gets its help. They spend their money wisely, and you're gainfully employed to a degree. I think
I believe, sir, we have solved this problem.
I think so. Mr. Ducey, if you listen, then you should be listening. And if you hear me, then you should listen, because we got you. We got you, partner. we're going to close this out. We're going to close this out, but we'll revisit this. If you want to do better, you have to think better. If
exactly.
you want to climb, you have to take steps to do it. And and that's what it all comes down to. Oh, well, it looks like we're moving forward. Our next segment, Behind Closed Doors, we haven't been there in a minute. She's got a habit, just like him. Can today's woman be more bold and forthright about sex and promiscuity? Is it about morality, or is it independence? What is it? Sex and the married woman, or sex and the single woman? We'd like to hear some of your opinions. Our number, 347-855-8662. They used to do this. They used to have this cliche, and by no means am I being disrespectful, rude, or inconsiderate to any female out there. He says, you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. Well, you know, you got your fair share of fellas that are hoes, too. Can't turn a hoe into a hubby. Into a hubby. But you got to respect those individuals that go like this: I'm not ready. Not ready for that relationship. But today, promiscuity has reached an all-time high. And this is my opinion. Tell me what you think. Females just like, they just like to play. And because society has made something so much more acceptable, I think we're just seeing it now. I mean, before, it was, with no pun intended, behind closed doors. You know, she liked to play. She liked to play. But you didn't know about it. But now, you know, they accept guys wearing dresses to work, wearing wigs to work. They accept females wearing their jeans down below their behind while boxers are being worn. Yeah, yeah, I don't get that, but okay. You're still a female.
I don't either.
Now, if a female walks up to a guy and go like this, hey, you know what? This was nice dancing, but we need to bounce up out this spot. Is she loose? Or is she just exercising her independence? Do tell.
Ooh, I'd like to chime in.
Feel free.
Well, here's my perspective. Here's what I'm thinking. You know, society creates these norms, and if you don't conform to the norm, you're considered a deviant. But if you look at humans in general, two things. One, everybody has their own right to exist and be within their own framework, as long as they're not harming anyone. And I think that's the first thing that we have to realize. And then the other thing is, you know, times have changed. There are cultures where men have multiple wives, but what's less talked about are those cultures where women have multiple husbands. And see, it's all perspective. It's a lens. And depending on which lens you look through makes things wrong, because you take a gentleman, and I'm using that term, is, you know, a male. He is on the dating scene, and he has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 girls that he's seeing on a regular basis, and he's intimate with all of them. He talks with his fellas and his buddies and even his female friends. He's known as a stud or a player. But you take a lady who's in the same exact position, and she's got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or maybe just 2 or 3 guys that she's hanging with on an intimate basis, and she's called all sorts of nasty names that, you know, you don't want to hear repeated or say to your kids. Now, I think that's because society has put that norm on us, saying that once a woman has multiple partners, that lowers her value. And I think that harkens back to an older day. Now, I'm not saying, you know, hey, that you should or shouldn't. I'm not making that choice for someone, but I believe that that someone has the right to make their own choice. Now, me as a person dating that person, or that person dating me, we both have the right to choose whether or not we want to date someone who's had X number of partners, or maybe X minus whatever. I think that it's a choice. And ultimately, you know, everyone talks about, we don't share a number. I get that. But if we're looking at establishing a long-term, serious, monogamous relationship, I think some things need to come to the table to a certain degree, but there are some things as a guy I don't want to know. I just don't want to know that. And if you're digging me and I'm digging you, hey, that's it. The past is the past. It's over.
Let me chime on that. I think I want to call that the incidental number. You know, you could slip through 3 females in 2 months. And you could slip through 6 in the course of a year. The relationship did not go well. Your communication wasn't well. Dare I say, the sex was bad. You know, you know what? You can't really have bad sex. You can just have inadequate sex. That's just me. I'm just thinking. You know,
that's a topic for another show, because I'm gonna disagree with you, brother.
But I'm just saying. But here's the thing.
Fair enough.
For any reason, you can part from these different females, and before you know it, you just ran through 6 to 7 relationships. Let's just say. And they didn't go well for whatever reason. But you were intimate in each one of them. So as a fella, you're not so much as a stud, but I mean, you could be a stud, but you know, if you were looking for a relationship, then you're not looking at the number, the incidental number. You just so happen to run through it. I think females can do the same thing. I think they accidentally fall into the same, because, you know, Joe was cool until, you know, he picks his hands up. You know, Jamal was all right until, you know, he was looking at her sister, you know.
Right.
Was cool.
Good point.
Until, you know, he called her Veronica, and her name is Josephina. And the same thing, you know, the guy goes like this. He says, "Oh, Lady Treese, you're incredible." And her name was Josea. You know, wait a minute. Did you just call me by that hostess? You know, my thing is that a relationship ends, and incidentally, so did that. Your number began to increase. That doesn't make him a hoe.
I agree, but many people consciously or subconsciously punish a partner for that number in much the same fashion that when you go to an employer, they ask how many jobs have you had in the past, you know, X number of years, that it can function in the same fashion. You know, where some people say, oh, it's
that's
experience.
True.
Other people say, well, you couldn't hold down a job. And it's perception. It's a perspective.
Right.
Because, you know, I've been in situations where I've had, you know, two or three consecutive bad relationships. And so, yes, my number would increase. Does that mean I'm a stud? No. Does it mean I'm a loser? No. Does it mean I'm a hoe? Absolutely not. It means that I just had a string of bad luck. And, you know, that's when you stay away from the casino also, you know. But it's just one of those perspectives. It's a perspective thing, you know. That's
well,
all
see,
it is. Because any number wrong?
No, not necessarily. I mean, now, wait, you know, if you running around the mid-double digits, you know, you might have some holistic tendencies, my brother.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a possibility.
That sounded like there was a capital H on that, man. Come on now.
But my thing is this, judge not unless you be judged. And it's like I don't want to judge that female. I believe that today's woman is more in touch with what she feels. She has more strength. She's more independent. She has a better outlook of what it is that she wants, even though she's still trying to find what she wants. She knows
right.
that just like a man, she needs intimacy. She needs intimacy with a hug, with a conversation, intimacy with a dinner partner. Emotional, she needs emotional substance. And sometimes, just like when you go shopping and you pick up 475,921 tomatoes and then you find that one that's just right, you think all the other tomatoes go, oh, my God, she's a squeezer. No. It's the thing that makes you comfortable, the thing that makes you better. And we believe we find it sometimes, and it might not turn out. It was perfectly firm and everything okay at that point, but there was a soft spot that didn't work for us. That's just my feeling. I believe the younger females today are more in touch with their sexuality, and they don't care. I would say be mindful of how you play. Because
right.
some of your toys can hurt you.
Or,
Trey, that's coming from me.
If you hurt that toy in turn hurts someone else.
There you go. There you go. And so in this the lesson. So my thing is this. For all the ladies that's listening, and enjoy life. Live it to the fullest. Embrace it. Embrace your independence. And embrace that your strength. Be cognizant of everything good around you, and that's a good thing. But don't abuse the things that make you who you are. You're always a lady first. Well, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Raise your glasses, bottoms to the top, and remember every. Thought is grand. Every idea is warranted. And for every step you make, every endeavor you take, we hope and pray that they're always on point.
On point.
On point.
We'll see you next week. Take care. Peace.
Mm-hmm.